Today on Movie Wall, as we review The Lost City of Zed, Buster's Mal Hart, and Baywatch. It's time for Movie Wallers. Hi, this is Joe.
Hi, it's Rashmi.
And Yazdi as well.
Movie Wallers is your weekly dose of film reviews, movie news and general banter in theatres, on DVD, online streaming or on the back of an airplane. If you love the movies, this show is for you. Greetings.
Hello.
Hello. So once again, we're Skyping in Rashmi from, well, I should say, you know, I always give Skype the credit, but actually you're on FaceTime.
Oh. You are FaceTiming me in.
Which I
really... You should
give
credit to Apple.
Yes, Apple did a nice job of allowing us to see you and hear you from Chicago. We're at our usual home in San Diego.
Likewise, I am sitting at the virtual desk.
I'm still marveling at the technology that allows us to do this kind of thing. Mind blown. So, it's getting late for you, so I guess we should get on with the podcast, because what time is it there now? It's 10:20.
11:20.
11:20. And what time do you have to be up in the morning?
Tomorrow's actually a lazier day. My first meeting starts at 9 on Sunday.
Well, no sympathy then, because I was going to be all, let's hurry this along. But I think you can burn the midnight oil for it with us.
I can. To do the for review. Movie Wallers, I can.
So, okay. So we have three movies to talk about. Once again, unfortunately, we're not going to have time in this episode to give you our Netflix picks, but we will be back with those next time. So if you're wondering what to watch on Netflix, listen to a previous podcast, because there's plenty of choices. But we have, again, three movies to cover. So where would you like to start? We have Lost City of Zed, Buster's Mal Hart, and Baywatch.
Let's start with Lost City of Z. I guess it is, Joe.
Is it Z or Zed? Because everyone had English accents in the movie.
I was saying to Yazdi, I think it's Zed because it was an English explorer.
Yeah. I think it is Lost City of Zed. So we shall anoint it Lost City of Zed.
Say it properly, Rashmi.
Lost City of Zed.
And actually, it's The Lost City of Zed.
Oh, that's right.
As they remind us.
The. Or
The. The Lost City of Z. The Lost City of Zed is the latest from director James Gray, who's turning out to be a bit of an auteur. I mean, I'm kind of really starting to look out for his films. If you've seen Two Lovers, or if you've seen The Immigrant last year with Marion Cotillard, or some of his earlier movies, including The Yards, this is a director with quite a vision, and I think this might be his most ambitious project to date. And The Lost City of Zed is based on a book by David Gran, and the writing credit is for David Gran as well as James Gray. And the movie really is based on the very true story of Colonel Percival Fawcett, who in the early 1900s worked for the British Army, and he was almost against his wishes recruited to go and survey and create the map borders within Bolivia, because at that time the rubber forests had just been discovered in the Amazon and they were considered liquid gold at that time, and both Peru and Bolivia were fighting for it. So an impartial country such as Britain was entrusted with finding a, you know, demarking a proper border. And the movie kind of tells the story of, you know, this man's exploration into the deep, dark, at that time, uncharted jungles of the Amazon. And that, in essence, is the movie. And it stars, the principal actors in this are Charlie Hunnam, who stars as Percy Fawcett, as well as Sienna Miller, who stars as his wife, and Robert Pattinson is here as well. So I think we've all seen this movie. Rashmi, what did you think of it?
So I'm really sad because this was supposed to be an epic adventure of ye olde days of exploration. It's beautiful to look at. It's well acted, but my, it's so dull and boring. I actually fell asleep during this movie. I'm really sad to say it. I did not enjoy this movie. This really didn't gel with me.
Hmm. Yeah, spurred on by the fantastic press this movie has been getting. I was kind of excited to see this too. I mean, maybe in fairness to the movie, we were both a little tired when we went to see it, Rashmi, because, we kind of spontaneously kind of jumped out of the house and went to see a screening, somewhat late in the day. This wasn't to my taste either. I think the movie felt like there needed to be some sort of adventure. This is quite a remarkable tale. I think the movie, to me, felt like it took on a little too much. It bit off a little bit more than it could chew. And as a consequence, the pacing felt all wrong. It was plodding where it should have been exciting, and throwaway where there could have been more drama, and just really a bit of a mess from a plot and thematic perspective. I'm sure Yazdi loved it.
I did love it.
I knew it. What did you love about it, Yazdi?
I loved everything about it. I really do think it's one of the best films of the year. I think...
My God.
I do. I think it works on so many levels. I mean, on the face of it, you can call it a biopic, because it's really very faithful to the story of this man. And I think a lot of the issues that you might encounter with the pacing of the movie is because it's such a faithful adaptation. So it's how things kind of turned out in his life. And I think, I don't know if it's a spoiler, but, you know, I thought that this was about one big epic, exploration, and it's not. It's about several explorations that this man made. So his explorations were broken down by periods when he came back home and interacted with his family. So I think the pacing might be thrown off by that, because it kind of, necessarily, so to tell the story of this man rightly, kind of breaks up the action, if you will. So it's an epic in one way. On the face of it, you can also call it a very formal adventure film, because it is about this man kind of reaching out into the unknown and dealing with, all manner of things that man and his, arrogance thinks can kind of overcome and kind of subjugate. But I think it's kind of wrong to call it either a biopic or an action movie, because it's more than that. I think ultimately it becomes kind of this treatise on a person who is obsessed. Many people in their... And so it almost stops being about an explorer, and it becomes about... you hear all the time about people who go up to climb the highest peak in the worst conditions and they die. And I always wonder,
What
drives people to go up, knowing it's completely...
And at what expense?
At what expense? And I think the movie really is very good at bringing out... Here is a man who never even wanted to be an explorer, but once he becomes an explorer, once he goes there, and once this bug gets into his head about this mystical city, the lost city of Z that the natives talk about,
Zed,
that he's so consumed by it that he makes his family pay a big price, he pays a big price, and he just becomes obsessed. And in a way, it reminded me, of many other films about men who are obsessed. So I think I kind of like that about it. And I think the last half hour of the movie becomes completely mystical. It just easily transcends into things which are somewhere between the real and the imagined. So I kind of like that piece as well. It's not an easy film. It's not an easy film, but it's very ambitious, and I liked it.
So this is the thing, Yazdi. I agree with you. The last half an hour was probably my favorite. And it feels like if this had been Indiana Jones and Harrison Ford and had the Steven Spielberg treatment, it would have actually been a great movie. Unfortunately, what it ends up being is a movie of a man making a map.
Yeah.
And I say it like that, and I'm being purposely facetious. And so I feel like it started to explore this great theme. I was actually quite excited at the beginning, because I think Sienna Miller did a very good job of playing his wife.
She's
and
excellent.
I like that they started to explore this gender argument.
Yeah.
And it's set, way back in ye olde times.
Yeah.
And so I was kind of excited that it was almost taking an issue that's relevant to today, as we talked about in the Wonder Woman episode, and was kind of exploring a very relevant issue in a time where the attitude was expected to be a certain way. So I kind of got quite excited, and then it kind of left it by the wayside and ended up being dull and just not pursuing that.
Yeah, I think that's where I struggled with the movie as well. I think I almost wanted it to be more adventure.
And yeah.
I think it tackles some there's interesting little sidelines, but they never really felt like they were fully explored. I guess in much the same way as the Amazon, the South America was not fully explored in his time, but these kind of little pockets of interest kept popping up, and I was like, oh good, you know, we're going to go down this road, and then snip, you know, it goes back to, you know, as you rightly point out, the obsession that this man had. So I think that's why I struggled with it. I admired the movie. I mean, I think it's incredibly well acted and shot. So for me, it was really just a case of struggling to keep interest in the plot. I almost feel like it would have been better served by being a mini series of shorter but more kind of self-contained stories, where we get to explore a lot of the things that the movie starts to raise and then closes off. So you know, I find it hard to find fault with the movie. I just in its current form, it's just struggled to keep interest. And I think the tone of it was kind of very somber as well. I mean, it has this kind of darkness over it. I don't know why the movie Greystoke, The Legend of Tarzan, pops to mind, but it really did feel of that same kind of tone and era. It was all quite serious.
And I think quite it was thespian. Trying to be very majestic.
Yeah.
And I think in trying to be majestic, it forgot that it had to entertain us.
Right.
I mean, I think it was majestic. I did find it majestic. I mean, going back to your point earlier about, I really like the Sienna Miller character, because, again, in the early 1900s, and the story is set in 1910, I believe, it's very difficult for a woman to be anything other than what society has assigned her to be. And you know, if you're a strong woman with your own ambitions, you are lucky if you have a husband who kind of, you know, cherishes that. But it's very difficult to go beyond that, and therefore I think it's sad to see that the way her character is, she's left in the story with nothing to do because she's a victim of those times. And it kind of reminded me of, you know, Carrie Mulligan in Far From the Madding Crowd, or, you know, any of those movies about, you know, how do you find your place, you know, in a society which is specifically created to not allow you to do that. And I think the other piece the movie also did a very good job with was, you know, any story of exploration is essentially the story of man's encounter with another tribe of men. So, you know, I think the movie does a good job of, you know, the perils of your interactions with the indigenous people. You know, every time the supposedly more advanced, you know, white male interacts with, you know, with the indigenous people, there's all, you are in a cesspool of moral ambiguities. And I think the movie kind of made, you know, kind of brought some of that to the fore. I do agree that because of the tone of the movie, because of the pacing of the movie, it kind of might feel a little bit glacial, but I was just enraptured at every point.
I mean, it's 2 hours and 20 minutes. It's running at 140 minutes. And I feel like we could have easily got rid of about 35 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know that we could, because I think the movie had a lot of important points to make, and I think they were all there. It's just, I feel, like I said, I would have preferred that they added a few hours and given us more to kind of more to chew on.
Yeah, I also wanted to talk about the acting here. I mean, I didn't mean to cut off what you were saying.
No, go ahead.
I mean, I think Charlie Hunnam was really very good here. I mean, again, we just saw him. In fact, it's odd we just saw him in The Legend of...
I didn't recognize it. I didn't see them as the same person.
Of Arthur. King Arthur. Yeah, King Arthur. Not The Legend of Arthur. King Arthur. And I think this in this movie, he's called to be a lot of things and kind of be almost the conscience of the movie necessarily. So, and I think he did a very good job here. I mean, I would also almost consider him best actor material. But Sienna Miller, I mean, I've never really understood her, appreciated her. I really liked her in the movie with Brad.
In Sniper.
American Sniper was when I really stood up and noticed her. And she's incredible. She's excellent. And, you know, it really brings home the point about, you don't have to be an explorer. Any kind of a situation where one partner has to be away from the rest of the marriage, you know, what toll it takes on the other partner. And she, without being preachy or...
She was excellent.
She really brought that point for beautifully across. And I also want to mention an unrecognizable Tom Holland, you know, who played his son. I didn't even realize, you know, that's Tom Holland. He's going to be playing the new Spider-Man. And he's in this movie Pilgrimage. And he was in The Impossible. And he was so good here as well in terms of a child who grows up hating his father, but then is so awed by the mystery of this missing man that he wants to follow in his footsteps. So there's a lot. I agree. This is a very, very ambitious movie with a lot of ideas and a lot of concepts it wants to comment on.
So I don't even remember Robert Pattinson being in the movie.
Oh, yeah, Robert Pattinson is in the movie too. Yeah, he was the only one who failed to impress. Yeah, he just wore glasses and walked around.
And that's I don't not know fair. Who he was. Which one was he?
He was the guy who was kind of, what was his name? Coulter, Capper, something like that.
Costin.
Yeah, he was the guy who was kind of an expert on, you know, on expeditions into the deep Amazon.
Unrecognizable. I have no memory of him. I have amnesia.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, so let's sum this one up. So, Joe, why don't you go first? We'll let Yazdi finish.
Yeah, you know, a lot to admire here. I think the movie, again, incredibly well crafted and acted. There's nothing to fault here in terms of how the movie looks and feels. I think it was just too ambitious in terms of content, and I think it didn't do service to many of the themes that it started to raise. So I didn't find myself at the end of it really knowing much more about the character than I did at the beginning. And I think in terms of a biopic, that's dissatisfying. So I'm going to give it a 5 out of 10. It's one to admire, and maybe it's one to watch in small chunks. I mean, maybe it was all a bit too much for me.
So I agree with you, Joe. I found this a little confusing and dull. I could admire the acting, and I think the production was great. I loved Sienna Miller in this movie, and like Yazdi, I didn't think I would ever say those words. However, I was totally lost in this City of Zed, so for me, this is a 4 out of 10.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, this is, I don't know. I don't know if this is my kind of movie, but I think I saw it in the middle of the day when I was well-rested, and I'd had it. Nice big breakfast before then. So I was ready to watch something complex and challenging. And I really like that it's a very thorough examination of this man. This movie could have taken the biopic route. It could have taken the Indiana Jones route, but it really stays faithful to the material. And it gave me a sense of what it might have been to live in those times. And the production design and the cinematography is beautiful. The acting is great. And even now, I mean, I could easily, if I started writing about this movie, I think I could write pages and pages about it just because of all these moral and ethical questions it raises about man's interaction with other people. And it's, in its portrayal of a man who is so obsessed that he's willing to pay any price of it, it almost reminded me of The Hurt Locker, you know, about people who constantly put themselves in danger without realizing what it might be doing to their loved ones and so forth. So I really like this movie. I give it an 8 out of 10. Yeah, I really do.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Moving on. What was your score, Joe? 6?
I gave it a 5, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, sorry.
4, 5, 8. That's good. We don't very often have a big divergence in scores, so it's good.
Okay.
Okay.
We have Baywatch and
Buster's
Malhart. Yep. Yes. So Baywatch.
Okay, so yes, that Baywatch from our youth, Baywatch 2017 has arrived and follows the devoted lifeguard Mitch Buchanan as he butts head with a brash new recruit, and together they uncover a local criminal plot that threatens the future of the Bay. So this has got actually surprisingly R-rated, and it stars The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, who I love, Zac Efron, Alexandra Daddario, Kelly Rohrbach, Priyanka Chopra, and John Bass, amongst others. So, yes, you were the only lucky one that got to see this one.
Mm-hmm. And I have to admit, I mean, I did want to see this as campy as it looked. I think back in the day, Baywatch was probably a show that I liked for all the wrong teenage reasons, but I think the premise has potential.
And so yes, was the comeback of the orange swimsuit worth it? You took one for the team with this one.
I did take one for the team. Let me just start out by saying that I think this is a remarkable film. It really is, and people aren't talking about this. And the reason why I think it's remarkable is because, you know, most people make movies with a lot of passion, right? Nobody makes a movie just for the heck of it. Everybody makes a movie with a lot of passion. And there's a lot of effort that goes into it. And, you know, good movies starring Brad Pitt show up on Netflix and so forth. But it's really rare, I think, these days that you see a movie in the cinemas that is genuinely, truly awful. Like, just bad. You really don't. I mean, when was the last time you saw a movie which was just... I'm not saying just mediocre. I'm saying, like, inept. Like, bad. Like, awful. I'm shocked that anybody at the cinemas, anybody in the studio saw this movie and didn't think that they should just release it on DVD and for like $2, you know, discount bin. It's that bad. It's like a Scooby-Doo episode. And I'm saying, and I'm so disappointed because there is a good cheeky, you know, tongue-in-cheek movie to be made. Look what they did with 21 Jump Street. That's from
that's
cheeky,
a great point.
Campy television series. And look how they kind of played with this. And there's so much tone to be played with here. And this movie is just thuddingly unfunny. It's trying so hard. You know, I mean, there's so many one-liners here that nobody laughs at. And you don't want to be in a cinema where people are saying things and they're pausing because they expect that maybe the audience would laugh, and nobody laughs.
Oh.
It's just...
is it played for comedy as
yes,
here? Is
yes,
it just trying to be cheeky?
No, it's played for comedy, and it's you know, it's... I have nothing against raunchy humor. It's going for raunchy humor, but that's not, you know, particularly good. And
is it... Does it have anything to do with the original TV show? Because that TV show was, frankly, ridiculous. I mean, I think it was a star vehicle for Hasselhoff, who was riding high coming off of Knight Rider. And it was really about seeing good-looking women run around in swimsuits. I mean, that's it had these kind of ridiculously paper-thin
right
plots. I don't actually remember watching. I think I watched a lot of it with the volume switched off while doing something else. You know,
I mean, honestly, I remember watching many.
Joe, I don't know if you wanted to share that with everyone.
Well,
are you sure you were washing dishes?
Look, how old was I when the series was out?
I used to watch Baywatch pretty regularly. It was on NBC. I remember that. And you know, it in its own kind of goofy, silly way, you know, it was kind of fun, you know, and it was silly because these lifeguards, they thought they were cops, and you know, they would like go in and do things, and you know, right. the movie kind of alludes to that here. And you know, there's one kind of clever line in the movie where Zac Efron says, "Ha, you know, what we are doing sounds like a very entertaining but ridiculous television show." And you know, so that's their homage to, you know, the television show. But the movie has not earned the right to be meta about anything. It's just right. so consistently, it's just bad. I mean, I haven't wanted to walk out of a movie in a long time. And like the last, I remember me and Glenn were sitting next to each other. Glenn is one of our other cinema critics.
Guest. And, yeah.
And at the end of the movie, we were like, God, we should have just left like, you know, an hour into this movie. And I've never felt, I'll sit through any movie, but this one really tested my patience.
Any eye candy in this one? Because that's really what the original show is about.
There's a lot of eye candy, absolutely. But I think you have to play it for humor. You have to go, either you have to go like really over the top with this. And the best thing about the movie is the title credits. You know, where the first part of the movie, maybe I shouldn't spoil it. Maybe some soul wants to go and see it.
Spoil it.
But there is like, you know, there's somebody who is drowning in the ocean, and, you know, Dwayne The Rock Johnson jumps in and he saves them, and the music's all playing, and then he grabs them and he comes out of the sand. And I kid you not, this giant ass-sized Baywatch comes out of the ocean. Like, suddenly, you know, like, out of the ocean, these giant letters, like you know, 100 times the size of The Rock come out. Like, Baywatch, you know. And that's what it is. Everybody laughs because it's so over the top. And I wish the whole movie was like that. Because then it just becomes, you know, like, they have, like, Priyanka Chopra plays the bad guy in this movie. She plays the villain. And I've seen enough of Priyanka Chopra's movies from Indian cinema that I know that she's a good actor. But this has got to be the silliest, stupidest, most unfrightening, most unmenacing villain you've ever seen. I mean, she just wears slinky dresses and asks the bad guys to shoot at people. And, you know, it's like, oh, God, what were they thinking?
But isn't that what the original TV show was like?
No, I don't know. Maybe you should watch it, Joe, and comment on it. But
with the volume off, doing something else.
Yeah, I think, Joe, you know, tomorrow's Sunday and I'm away and, you know, you've got to go watch Baywatch.
I'm not going to do that. It sounds like I would rather scratch my eyes out.
It just seems like, you know, it seems like you've watched a Scooby-Doo episode. It really does. I mean, it just feels like a bad... Anyway, I won't... And I seldom poop on movies. I know that so much goes into the making of a movie. But I think the movie's biggest crime, honestly, is that I think we all agree that Dwayne The Rock Johnson is one of the most charismatic persons. Forget even an actor, you know, right now. I mean, it's... He has a way of really being at the center of the screen. He draws your attention to him. He's an effortless entertainer. Charm to spare. And to make him charmless and to make Zac Efron charmless takes extra, you know,
talent.
Extra talent. So this is just completely charmless. I wish I was watching, you know, the next version of 21 Jump Street instead. Bad movie.
Score. Right.
Slay it, yesterday. Go on.
2 out of 10.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen you go that low.
Yeah, it's very poorly executed. Just very poorly executed. Like, it's inept.
That's too bad. Yeah. That's a shame. I think this could have been... Hey, this franchise, like the TV show, you know, there's no beginning and end of the stories. You could have had characters that go from movie to movie. So it's kind of a shame that they blew it so badly.
Is it
the writing, do you think? Is it just
I think it's poorly the
written? I mean, or do you blame the director? Because, I mean, the cast is really hard to find fault with when they're so good in other...
Yeah, it must be the writing because it's got an R rating because everybody just uses the F word constantly from the very first. So it's going for that edgy kind of feeling, but
yeah.
But it's wasted. Yeah. And you know, there's a couple raunchy pieces, and all of their humor comes from, you know, stupid frat boy stuff, or I don't know, maybe this is how Baywatch should be. I don't know. I just couldn't wait to get out of it. Sorry, guys.
All right, well, let's move along. Movie number three of the week is Buster's Mal Heart. So this comes from writer-director Sarah Adina Smith. I'm not familiar with her work, but she's, I think, directed a couple of features before this. Yazdi, have you seen anything by her before?
I have not.
I'm not familiar with her.
No.
But she has the movie. The movie stars Rami Malek, who we know from Short Term 12, which was a very a loved movie by Movie Wallace, and also more recently Mr. Robot on TV. Yes. So he has a certain air about him that I think made him very suitable for this character. It's kind of hard to sum up because the log line here is several paragraphs long. So I'm just going to read the first couple of sentences from it just to give you a flavor for what the movie is about. And it goes along these lines. In this bold thriller peppered with dark humor and interlocking mystery, an eccentric mountain man is on the run from the authorities, surviving the winter by breaking into empty vacation homes in a remote community. Regularly calling into radio talk shows where he's acquired the name Buster to rant about the impending inversion at the turn of the millennium, he is haunted by visions of being lost at sea, memories of his former life as a family man. So, the two of you have seen this. I was present while Rashmi was watching this, but as with episodes of Baywatch, I was doing something else. So, what did you guys think of it?
So I think there's a reason that you hire Rami Malek when you're looking clearly for someone who may be disturbed or confused, but has conviction in their thoughts. So this is a really interesting movie that's not really what it seems and changes throughout the movie, but Rami Malek is perfectly cast. I really enjoyed this movie.
Yeah, I liked how trippy this movie is. It's just throwing these little pieces at you, and it's kind of almost defying you to put them all together as you're watching it. And it's in no hurry to let you, you know, connect the dots, if you will. And so, I mean, considering I just looked up the director, this is only her second film. She did something called The Midnight Swim before it. And I don't know if it has anything to do with Midnight Swim on television, but I think it takes a certain kind of confidence to make a movie that is that out there and that it's kind of constantly playing with, you know, what is real versus what is imagined. So I liked it.
Yeah, so I think what I like is that it's set against this Twilight Zone backdrop. So like Yazdi said, you don't know what's real, you don't know what's not, but more than the kind of strangeness that's going on, I think it's doing a really good job of holding a mirror up to society. And it's basically saying, look at the way we live and look at the socioeconomic things that are going on in the country and how they affect us. And how they affect families, and what's important, and what does it mean to do the right thing, and what is it to be moral? And then it's got this deliciously dark humor where this character almost seems crazy, and he does some really bad things, but there's this great humor running through it as well. That's not supposed to make you laugh, but it's doing such a good job of looking at those socioeconomic factors and how they affect people and how it affects this one person. It's kind of a bit genius.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'll chime in here because even though I didn't fully watch it, I was actually busy trying. I was determined that on that particular day, we watched it in the home environment as a screener. So Rashmi, you paid full attention. I was busy trying to organize our paperwork life. And
Such an exciting life we lead.
I referred to it as a scan party, where I take boxes and volumes of paper and PDF them all for archival. Yes, that's exactly how much fun we have. But, I mean, I think the whole kind of tinfoil hat, you know, conspiracy theory-ness of this movie, it was... I was very intrigued by it, and I kind of do want to get the chance to watch it properly, because visually it's kind of bonkers, right? It does jump around. I think you said it's hard to kind of piece together, which was why I deliberately made a choice to not then watch the movie, because it demands your attention. Mm-hmm. I think in a way that is unapologetic. You know, this is kind of a sit up and pay attention to what's going on here. You know, this isn't a passive watching experience. And I think anything that intelligent is you know, clearly, Rashmi, you saw the whole thing from start to finish, and I remember just kind of watching you watch this and just how the movie, you know, had you drawn in. So I'm definitely eager to kind of, you know, see the full thing.
Yeah, and I hope this isn't a plot spoiler, but this has almost got elements of Shutter Island meets Fight Club, mm-hmm. meets The Matrix. I mean, there's that much crazy in it, yet there seems to be this real grounding in reality that says what this desire to live off the grid, to not work for the man, to do a good job, to look after your family, and the toll that takes.
Yeah, I mean, I have my computer open here and I'm looking at it, you know, what's playing at the box office right now. And we have Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man Tell No Tales. We have Baywatch. We have something called Everything Everything. And then Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. These are the top earning movies. You know, at a time when everything you get is so regenerated, regurgitated, the sixth sequel, you know, remake of an old television series, everything is so safe, and you have trailers which tell you exactly what the premise of the movie is, and it walks you through the story. I think we need to kind of applaud or kind of celebrate movies which are original, which are anything but predictable, which are taking a chance, which are kind of trying to merge these fantastical elements together. No matter how the movie turns out, the very fact that somebody is trying to be different, trying to be original, and trying to create this content, I think, needs to be commended.
And it's very well executed visually. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think the movie, again, in having watched it kind of from a distance, it felt very Revenant-like in places. I mean, you know, I don't know if it was, you know, the whole natural light gimmick that they used there, but, you know, it did feel very, you know, wilderness-like.
Yeah,
I mean, I think, you know, the movie starts, and I think recently, Joe, we watched a documentary about a guy who lived off the grid and lived in the forest for many, many years, and it's like the mystery of, you know, Pete or something.
Mm.
Where you know, someone...
One.
Sorry?
I don't think I saw that one. Are you thinking of Into the Wild?
So, something like that, but it was a documentary about a real person. And this takes that concept in a way, but it kind of explores... It kind of works its way backwards. And normally that gimmick of a movie that starts, then they say, you know, 10 days earlier.
Yeah.
Really upsets me. But for some reason, this really didn't. It really worked for me. So I'm happy to sum this up. This movie really impressed me, and I really want to watch it again. This is easily an 8 out of 10 for me.
Terrific. Yes, Dee.
Yeah, the same score. I just like how ambitious this film is and how it's totally not playing by the rules. And it's not just doing it for cheap shots. It has a purpose. So,
do you want to give this one bananas, Joe?
You know, it's not fair for me to give it... Well, yeah, okay. I'll give it various bits of citrus fruit as my rating. totally random.
I,
Okay.
At least it's not I am Gumby.
No, I mean, I think, again, having seen what I've seen of this movie, it demands a proper viewing. You know, that's all I can really say at this point. You know, and I'll do that at my first opportunity.
Sounds good.
Okay. So I guess that covers it for this episode. Too many movies, too little time, as we always say. Mail at movierollers.com, twitter.com/movierollers, facebook.com/movierollers, instagram.com. Hopefully the sound on this podcast came out okay. We are doing our best with Rashmi having flown halfway across the United States for work. Real work, not movie rollers work, unfortunately. So yeah, let us know what you think of these movies. And till our next episode, the tagline again, too many movies, too little time. A goodbye from me.
And me.
And me as well.